All right, let's take your Bibles and get your handout. And if you need a handout, lift your hand up high and our ushers will be sure to bring you one at this time. But if you have your handout, you'll notice at the top, our text this morning is 1 Chronicles 29. That's not a book that we typically preach from a lot. 1 Chronicles 29. Now, the Pew Bible page number is there at the top, page 494, page 494 in the Pew Bible. And that'll take you to 1 Chronicles 29. Bring me back a hair in the A's. 1 Chronicles 29. All right. Sometimes when we do good things, our motives may not be completely pure. Let me say that again. Sometimes when we do good things, outwardly, our inner motives may not be completely pure. Can you imagine if people could see into your heart? Imagine if people could see into your innermost thoughts and your innermost heart. Imagine if every time you did something nice for someone, they could see your heart. Okay, that didn't get much of a response. Let me get more personal. All right. let's drive the nail a little farther here, okay? Imagine, guys, every time you did something nice for your wife, she could see right down into your heart and see why you were doing it. Is that a scary thought? Some of you are like, nah, not one bit. You're a liar. You're lying in church. Imagine you take your wife out to a nice dinner, candlelight, nice restaurant, just the two of you. And imagine as you're partaking of this wonderful meal, imagine her being able to see right down into your heart. And she's horrified. And you're like, what's wrong? And she's able to see down into your heart. And she's able to see that you're doing all of this to get on her good side because you secretly ordered the NFL football package for your TV that week. And you don't want her to get too mad. And she sees that's why you're doing it. Is that a scary thought? You know, aren't you glad people can't see your heart? Oh, wait a minute. But wait a minute. There is somebody who can see your heart. Who? God. I get regularly asked questions. You know, people do channel surf and they're like, you know, man, I see this guy on TV and he's saying, boy, if I give this or that, then God's going to do this. And you know, this is how much I'm supposed to give. And people always are asking me questions about it. So I said, well, I haven't taught on this in 2 years. So I said, let's just take a few Sundays and let's just see what the Bible has to say. And let's answer a series of questions that you may have asked yourself. And so we asked the question, does God notice my giving? Does it even matter to God if I give, don't give? Does he even notice? What was the answer? Yes, he does notice. All throughout history, God notices when people give to him. But then we said, number two, does the place of my giving matter to God? Yes or no? That matters too. He always has a place, a specific place that he wants his people to give. Then we asked the question last week, are there rewards for those who give sacrificially to God with a right heart? Are there rewards? Yes or no? Yes. There are rewards. But here's the real shocker. God not only notices those who give to him, but the Bible teaches this, and it's in your handout, that God not only notices the gift, he also sees the attitude of the heart when we give. That means God knows what we give, why we give, how we give. God can see right down into my heart and know all my motives. If you look in 1 Chronicles 29, where I had you turn, verse 17 bears out what I'm teaching. Look at verse 17. David here is talking to God. And he says in 1 Chronicles 29, 17, I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. God tries the heart. That is, God can look right down into our heart and see why we're doing what we do. When we give to the Lord, and when God looks down into our heart, what does God desire to see? What does He want to see? Well, there is a phrase that really caught my attention in this text. You see, in this text right here, the nation of Israel is taking up a big collection, a big offering, and they're doing it to be able to construct the temple of God. You remember how God dwelt in the tabernacle in the Old Testament? Now today He lives in believers. It's different. God doesn't live in a building like this. But back then, God dwelt among His people in a building. And it was called the tabernacle. And it was like a portable tent. David's heart, King David, was he's like, man, I want to build God a permanent house. I want to build Him something that all the other nations will look at and go, wow, you know, and they'll take note of Jehovah God, the true and living God. And so David has this heart that he wants to build God a house. But it was going to take a whole lot of giving. It was going to take a giving heart from the people to make it happen. Just to kind of remind you, I'll bring up a picture here. This is an artist's rendering of the temple and the temple area. And it was massive. And it was going to take a lot of resources to be able to do that. So in this text, the nation of Israel, they're giving sacrificially to make that happen. But something caught my attention as I'm studying this. Look at verse 8. I think it'll really resonate with you. Look at verse 8. It says, and they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord. Now look at verse 9. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with, now look at that phrase, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. You know what gets me about that? God not only saw what these people were giving, He also noted their heart. God was able to look down into their heart and say, you know what? I know what they're giving, but I also know their motive. I know they're doing it with a perfect heart. The idea of perfect means that they were really into it. They were wholly into it. You see, that they really wanted to do it. I think that this subject is a fitting way to cap off the month. We're getting here to the heart of the matter, if you will. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty here. That, yeah, God notices what I give, and yeah, He has a place He wants me to give, and yeah, there are rewards for giving, but wow, God even sees my heart attitude when I give. He sees why I'm doing it. He sees what's motivating me, and what God really wants to see is He wants to see me giving with a perfect heart. How can I do that? It's really important stuff, isn't it? This is really crucial. What an important way to end the month. Is that, how do I give with a perfect heart? How do I give in a way that the God of heaven looks down and He sees, wow, Dan Proctor's giving with a perfect heart. Not that you're a perfect person. That's not what He's saying there. But He's saying that when they gave, they were doing it with a right heart. They were doing it with a perfect heart. How can I give that way? One day, because by the way, this has a lot to do with the rewards from last week. You see, the Bible teaches one day all of us are going to stand before Christ. And is it possible to do good things but do it with the wrong motive, yes or no? Sure. I mean, you could be an actor in Bethlehem, and the motive could be not because you're serving God and want to help. The motive may be, I want people to notice me. I'm hoping that an agent will notice what a great actor I am, you know. You know, and so our motive, we can do a good thing, but do it with a wrong motive. And it's the same way with giving. We can give, but have a completely wrong motive. And the Bible teaches when to stand before the Lord one day, He's going to try every work of what sort it is. So God will be able to tell what we did and why we did it. And the rewards are going to be given in eternity based on our heart. So this is really important. This is really important what I'm teaching you today. As we look at this text, how can I give, how can you give with a perfect heart? I'm going to give you three principles from this text. Number one, here's how you do it. Here's how we do it. Number one, it's when we give willingly rather than grudgingly. When we give willingly rather than grudgingly. Now, I want you to keep in mind these people are giving to help build God's temple. But I want you to notice something about their giving. Now, I'm going to read four verses from this text. I want you to read them with me. Not out loud. You can read silently. But as I read them, I want you to follow along. I want you to think. And I want you to tell me when I'm done with all four verses if there was a key word that kept popping up. You tell me what the key word is. Okay, let's look at verse 6. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds and with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly. Let's go to verse number 9. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Let's go, skip down to verse 14. David prays to God. He says, "But who am I and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." Skip down to verse 17. "I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee." What's the key word? I would say God's trying to make a point, wouldn't you? God looked into their heart and He saw that they were offering willingly. And that's how God could say, they're giving with a perfect heart. Why, God? Because God said they're giving willingly. Willingly. What does that mean, to give willingly? It means I do it voluntarily. I do it eagerly. Nobody has to twist my arm. Nobody has to coerce me. Nobody has to threaten me. I do it because I want to do it. That's what it means to give willingly. Illustration. Yesterday, my wife and I asked our two youngest boys to do a couple of things. In the morning, she said, "Will you guys go and clean your room? And I want you to clean the room. Don't just clean what's on top of the bed. Clean what's under the bed you've shoved under there. Clean what's beside the bed. Clean the room." Later on in the day, I asked something of them. I said to them, "Hey guys, how would you like to go on a bike ride with Dad and while we're out, get an ice cream?" Now, one of those things they did willingly. The other one, grudgingly. Now you guess which one. Willingly means, yeah, absolutely, I'm eager. When are we going? Let's do it. That was how they were about the bike ride and ice cream. When Mom said, "Clean your room," guess what? It wasn't, "Yeah, when can we start? Let's do it." God wants us to give how? Willingly. And in your handout, it says, this is so precious to God when He sees us giving, because we love Him and because we love His work and we truly want to give. All that's so precious to God. In fact, you know what, church? That's not only true in the Old Testament, it's true in the New Testament. It's true in the church age today. Look with me in your handout at 2 Corinthians 9:7, a church age verse. Look at it with me in your handout. Everybody look. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Same principle. Here it is. Paul writes to the church, a local church like Crossroads. And he says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. Can I stop right there and get your attention? Notice the key here is that they purposed it in their own heart. That's precious to God. When we give, not because somebody made us, not because somebody guilt-tripped us, not because somebody forced us, not because somebody twisted our arm. No, this is something, he said, that you purpose in your own heart. God loves it when our giving comes from deep down inside of us, in our heart. Now look at the verse. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not, now this would be the opposite of willingly. What is it? Grudgingly. Or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. The opposite of willingly is grudgingly. Maybe we do it, but we're not happy. Ladies, have you ever asked your husband to do something around the house? And he did it, but he did it grudgingly. Amen. When God sees us give, he wants to see that willingness. The Macedonian believers were a group of local churches, and they were a church like us. And you know what Paul commended them for in 2 Corinthians 8? He said, you know what? You were in a great trial. You were in deep poverty. They were in an economic recession, if you will. And he said, you all, I know because of what's going on in Macedonia, you guys are in deep poverty. But he said, yet you gave liberally to the collection we were taking up. He said, you gave far and above what we could have ever anticipated. And then you know what he went on to say? You know what the key, how they could do that? He said, it was because you first gave your own selves to the Lord. You see, when I give my whole being to the Lord, if God has my heart, then does he have my head? If God's got my heart, he's got my hands, doesn't he? If God's got my heart, he's got my feet. If God's got my heart, he's got everything. They first gave their own selves to the Lord, so the giving wasn't an issue. You see, when I recognize God's ownership, that he's bought me through the blood of Christ, he says, you're bought with a price, you're no longer your own. When I realize that I'm not my own, I'm bought with a price, I belong to God. And when I have the attitude, Lord, I'm yours, lock, stock, and barrel, I am yours, God, then you know what? All of a sudden, our attitude is, I belong to God. That means that everything I possess belongs to God. So it's not a big issue. We can give willingly rather than grudgingly. God said, boy, you know what? You guys gave with a perfect heart. Why? Because you gave willingly. Number two, the second principle here, we have a perfect heart when we give joyfully rather than bitterly. Joyfully. You know, these people gave willingly to the Lord. No doubt about that. We read it. But what did their giving produce? Would you look at verse 9 with me? Let's look at what these people's giving produced internally, inside of them. What you tell me, I'm going to read the verse, and then you tell me in one word what their giving produced internally. Look at verse 9. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly. Because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. What did their giving produce internally? Joy. Joy. What was the verse we read a little earlier in your handout? For look at the end of that verse, 2 Corinthians 9:7. For God loveth a what kind of giver? Cheerful, joyful. Do you know what the word, if you look up the word cheerful, do you know what it means? Literally, if you look it up, it means hilarious. Hilarious. Now, what in the world? How do I give hilariously? I mean, does that mean it's comedy hour? You know, I mean, if I give hilariously, what does that mean? I mean, does that mean that when the offering plate's going by, I'm like, no. If I'm going to give hilariously, it's the idea of I'm ready to do it. Man, I'm eager. I'm excited about it. My whole heart's in it. Come on, man, let's get to it. Let's do it. I'm ready. It's like, you know, you hear people say, oh, my favorite part of the service is the choir. Oh, I love the choir. And people tell me that. Oh, my favorite part of the service is the singing. Oh, I love the congregational singing. I just love it. I have people say, oh, my favorite part of the service is the teaching and the preaching of God's Word. And how many times have you ever heard somebody say, oh, I can't wait till offering time. That's my favorite time of the service. Oh, I just love it. It's the greatest time in the whole church service. I can't wait. I just can't wait till that plate gets to me. Hurry up! I never heard that, have you? I never heard anybody do that. But yet that is the idea of the word. Is that you give with hilarity. You give with just such an excitement. You just can't wait to do it. You're like, come on, let's get to it. Let's do it. Come on. Now, it says in your handout there, why would God love a cheerful giver? Bible says He loves it. Why would He love that? Well, in your handout it says, it's simply because there's no way to give cheerfully unless you give what? That was our first point, willingly. And it's that willingness and desire to give that God loves to see. He loves to see it. It warms God's heart when He sees that heart attitude in His children. You know, you know what? We forget that we're made in God's image. So the emotions and the things that we feel, God does. God, the Bible says, feels anger or love and grief and sadness, all those things. We're made in His image. You know, He does it with perfection. We don't, but yet we know God has that. That's why He says He loves a cheerful giver. It warms His heart. You know, it's kind of like recently I had my birthday, and my boys were so excited for me to open up my birthday presents. They truly were excited. And a couple of them down here on the front row, and you guys remember that? Got in the living room and open it. Let's get to this, you know. And like the thing I was saying, a hilarious giver. Let's get to it. Let's get at it. You know, and they couldn't wait for me to get at it because they had bought me some presents that were personal and that they really, had spent their own money and picked out themselves, went with mama, picked it out. And so they were excited to be able to give me those things. And on the other hand, have you ever, and by the way, that just warmed my heart, see? Because of their hard attitude, it warmed my heart. And that's how God feels. Have you ever felt like somebody was giving you a gift or buying you a meal at a restaurant? Have you ever felt like somebody did it because they felt obligated to do it? How'd that make you feel? How does it make you feel when somebody gives to you, but you can tell they're just doing it because they feel like they have to do it? Does that make you feel good? No. That's how God feels when He looks into our heart and He doesn't really see us truly rejoicing when we give to Him. I want you to think for a moment about our Savior, Jesus Christ. When He went to the cross to pay for our sins, did He go willingly or grudgingly? Willingly. And here's what I want you to see. Look in your handout. Turn your handout over. And in John 10, 15 and 18... Jesus' own words were, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down, what? Myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Listen, folks, Jesus didn't go to the cross with clenched fists and gritted teeth. I guess I got to do it to just save them sinners. I sure don't want to, but I'll do it. You know, when he went to the cross, the Bible says he went and willingly laid down his life for us. You know, what did Paul say? Paul said in Galatians 2:20 that Christ loved me and gave himself for me. He loved me and gave himself for me. He did it out of love. He did it willingly. Now, listen, what did that willingness produce for Christ? Look in your handout at the next verse, Hebrews 12:2. I've got it in your handout. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Somebody tell me, according to that verse, after the cross, after he gave himself of the cross, what did he have after the cross? His giving on the cross produced internal joy. In your handout it says, giving always produces joy when it's done with a right heart. It always produces joy when it's done with a right heart. Self-centeredness always produces misery. But it is such a Christ-centered thing when we give. You can't be more like Christ than when you give. Because Christ is a giver. That's why there's such a blessedness and a joy in giving. It's because we're acting like Christ. That's why Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive, because it's so Christ-like. You see, if we're going to give with a perfect heart, we got to give willingly. Number two, we got to give joyfully. But number three, last point. This is so important, folks. Number three, when we give thankfully rather than selfishly. This is Thanksgiving weekend. And I don't know if you agree with me on this, but I think you will. If there is anybody on planet Earth that ought to be thankful, it's a Christian who's been saved by the grace of God. We've been given a home in heaven. We've been given complete forgiveness of sins. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Man, if there's anyone that ought to look up to heaven and say thank you, it ought to be somebody who knows the salvation of God Almighty. And our motive in giving should be the incredible grace that Christ has poured into our lives. In your handout, look it with me. 2 Corinthians 8:9 in your handout. Paul said, for ye know, and by the way, he's using this verse as a motivation to the church at Corinth to give. And he says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Christ had everything. He's the center of heaven. He gave it all up, came to planet Earth, lived in poverty, went to the cross, went through pain, went through suffering, went through heartache. And he went through all of that, Paul said, that you might be made rich. And he's not talking about being made rich with money. He's talking about so that you might be enriched spiritually, so that you could have a home in heaven, so that you could have eternal riches that will last forever and ever and ever beyond your brief 70 or 80 years here on this life, here on this earth. He's saying, look, Christ gave it all up willingly. The Bible says in Philippians 2, that he took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And he gave it all up, made himself of no reputation, taking upon himself the form of a servant. And he became poor, that ye through his poverty, so that we could be enriched. In 1 Chronicles 29, these people gave willingly and cheerfully. But I want you to notice why. Look at verse 11. Everybody look at verse 11 in our text. And stay with me just a couple of minutes here. Look at verse 11. Thine, O Lord, David is praying, All these people have been given sacrificially. David's overwhelmed. He says in verse 11, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all," now follow this, "for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." Somebody answer this question. Ultimately, everything in heaven and earth, anything and everything, who's it belong to? God. Look at verse 12. "Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." Okay, let me ask you a question. If everything in heaven and earth belongs to God, He's the Creator, He owns it, then that means that everything I possess comes from who? God. So what's the logical response? Look at verse 13. "Now therefore our God," here's the logical response. If everything belongs to God, and then that means everything I have comes from Him, He's let me use it. Then verse 13, "Now therefore our God, we" what? "We thank thee and praise thy glorious name." What's the logical response? Thankfulness. Thankfulness that God's allowed me to use that which He created and belongs to Him. It's all His. But yet He's letting me use it. And it's my thankfulness that produces that inner desire to want to return gifts back to Him. Look at verse 16. Look at verse 16. David says, "O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee in house for thine holy name," he said, "it cometh of thine hand and is all" what? "Thine own." He says, everything we've given back to you, he says, "God, it was yours to begin with. It was all yours. How can we not give to you, God? Because we wouldn't have anything without you anyway. The grace giver doesn't give so we can get back something better from God." I mean, can you imagine if at Christmas time you got this present and you open up this present and somehow you're able to see into the heart of the person who gave it to you and you're able to read their heart and you're able to see that the only reason they gave you that present is because they're hoping to get something back better from you? Wouldn't make you feel too good, would it? We don't give to get something better from God. We don't give to get. We give because we say, "Wow, I wouldn't have anything without God. It all belongs to Him. Everything I have is His. He's just letting me borrow it. He's just letting me use it." And so we give to express that appreciation for all that He's done for us. In your handout, it says the grace giver gives back to God thankfully, not grudgingly. No, we give back thankfully because we recognize that everything that we have comes from who, church? God. And that was King David's attitude. David basically says, "Hey, you know what, God? How can we not give to your work? Everything we possess is because of your goodness and your grace." It would be like this. Brother Bohannon, him and his wife were recently, he's the chairman of our deacons, he's back there, and he recently went up to Georgia, and they found this coffee shop place that roasts their own beans. And he got me this big old huge bag of freshly roasted beans that had been ground up, and he brought that back for me because he knows how much I love coffee. When I brewed that and tasted it, the only thing I can tell you is that that's got to be the beverage they're going to serve in heaven. It's got to be. I mean, it's that good. I told Brother Bohannon, I said, "That's the best coffee I've ever put in my mouth." He said, "I know. You know, we got a bag too." And that's amazing. I mean, incredible. And can you imagine if we had Jim and Carol come over to our house a few days after he gives me that big old bag of coffee, huge old bag, And if he's sitting there kind of relaxing after supper and he says, "Hey, Dan, well, I tell you what, I sure could go for a cup of that good old coffee that I brought to you. Man, I could go for a cup of that right now." And I say, "No way. That's my coffee." And I say to him, "Forget it, buddy. Hey, that ain't company coffee. That's Dan coffee. That's mine. And I only make that for me." Would y'all agree that'd be pretty stupid? Because guess what? If it wasn't for Jim and Carol, would I have any of it? I wouldn't have even a ground of it. Every ground of coffee I have from there is because of them. So then for me to turn around and say, "Oh, I'm not going to give you any." That's what David's trying to say when he says, "God, how can we not give to your work? How can we not give bountifully, graciously, generously? How can we not? Everything we have comes from you. Everything we have was yours to begin with. Everything we possess is because of your goodness and grace. So how can we not give?" As we've looked at this subject this month, we've asked the question today, does God notice my heart when I give? What's the answer for that? Boy, that was weak. Folks, now you don't want me to teach on this 4 more weeks. I know you don't. So you need to get with me. Does God notice my heart when I give?
Yes.
Woo. Absolutely. These people gave with, remember what we said? What was the very beginning of the message there in verse 9? They gave with what kind of heart? Well, yeah, willing, but what did we say though? They gave with a perfect heart. How do I give with a perfect heart in God's eyes? Look in your handout. What was the first point? If I'm going to give with a perfect heart, I got to give what? Willingly. It's got to be because I want to. Number two, I give what? Joyfully. Hilariously, we said. Can't wait to get to it. Number three, I give what? I give thankfully. And can I tell y'all something from my heart? When God sees us giving that way, it really does something to the Lord. I mean, it ministers. It's like a sweet-smelling, remember the sweet-smelling savor? That's what it's like to God. When our heart's right and we're not giving out of guilt or fear, we're not giving out of selfishness, man, it's like a sweet savor in the nostrils of God. And you know what giving really becomes? Look at verse 20. Let's end with this. Verse 20. You tell me. Look at verse 20. "And David said to all the congregation," this is after they'd had this big offering, everybody's been given, everybody's been getting involved, everybody's joyful, happy, giving. "David said to all the congregation, 'Now bless the Lord your God.'" Now bless the Lord your God. "And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers, and bowed down their heads and" what? "Worshipped the Lord." Verse 21 says, "They sacrificed sacrifices unto the Lord, offered burnt offerings unto the Lord on the morrow after that day. Even 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, 1,000 lambs with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel." God saw what they gave. He recorded in detail what they gave. He noticed the gift. But he also noticed the heart attitude. And when our heart is right, you know what giving becomes? It's the last statement in your handout. It's the key is what David said. They bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord. Giving truly becomes an act of worship when your heart is in the right place. "Hey, God, I realize that it's not about me. It's about you and what you're doing on the earth. All that I have is from you, and it's all for your glory. It's all for your glory."